Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, Matthew chapter 6, we're going to begin with verse 5 and go through verse 15. We're going to focus in and zero in, though, on verse 11. So that's where our focus is going to be this morning. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. It is the living word of God. It's just not words on a page. It is your word that speaks to us even this morning, Lord God, as we study it. Father, I pray you challenge, inspire our hearts, Father. Let it speak life to us, we pray. We give you the thanks this day, and we ask in your name. Amen. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. So hypocrite were the people that said one thing, they did something else. And often they were the religious people. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. So it's a show for them. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father in heaven, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You ever read that? Think, why are you praying? You babble, huh? It's the importance of coming before God. It's about relationship, folks. It's not about a ritual. It's not about, it is that keeping that ongoing relationship with God. This then is how you should pray. So this is what is called the Lord's Prayer. So in some churches, they'll recite that almost weekly, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. We probably don't see that as a ritualistic thing, but there are elements in the Lord's Prayer that we need to understand, not necessarily that we have to memorize it, but we have to catch the different things that Jesus is teaching us there, of how we should pray. He's not saying memorize the prayer as much as he's saying catch the elements of this prayer that are essential and model it within your own prayer life. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we enter in with worship, giving he's our focus. We worship him in his holiness, right? You don't start off with your list of things that you want from God. You come before him in worship. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we pray that God's virtues, that God's principles would be modeled within our world and how our world needs that. It's desperate for that. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. So we'll go into more of that. Verse 12, forgive us our debts. Not so much financial debts, but our sin debt, right? As we have forgiven other debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's a good prayer to pray because there's probably not a day that goes by that we're not tempted in some way, whether it's with a thought, whether it's the words that we say, whether it is in our actions. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not, what? Forgive your sins. That's pretty black and white, isn't it? I want us to focus in on verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. You know, think about just the context behind Thanksgiving, the holiday of Thanksgiving, right? So in school and maybe in churches and things like that, we've learned just the background of Thanksgiving, that the pilgrims came over. They came over in different times. There's different groups that came over. But where Thanksgiving kind of comes out of, they came over and settled in this new land. A lot of them were not used to being farmers or living off the land, okay? That wasn't part of who they were. Now they come to a place where they have to live off the land. They have to be sustained off the land, right? They didn't probably settle in the best place when they initially settled there. I think it was swampy, if I remember right. There was a lot of things that they could have done better. And so they get into winter. They don't have the food and provisions that they need. They don't have the lodging that they need. And winter sets in and many of them die, right, because of sickness, disease. They just didn't have enough to make it through that winter. So they learned from some pretty horrible mistakes. A lot of them lost their lives that winter. The Indians would happen to befriend them. They made some relationships there. They showed them how to live off the land. So they entered into that next winter much better prepared, right? Because they learned how to live off the land. And so that fall, then they had a big feast, and that's supposedly where our Thanksgiving holiday comes from, right? They were thankful that of what God had provided for them. Now they had bounty for the relationships that they had made. So there was a lot of things for them to be thankful for. I think about the Israelites. They had a similar experience, right? They left out of Egypt. They made their journey, right? And they get into the wilderness, and they, you know, woo, we're excited because we're out of Egypt, we're out of slavery, we're set free. But then they get into the wilderness, and you got over 1 million people living off the wilderness. And wilderness is more of a desert, arid, very arid kind of culture. How are you going to take care of 1 million people? I mean, that's the size of Omaha, right? That have to live off of, it's not like there's wildlife all over. You know, they did have their own livestock and things. But that was a pretty huge undertaking. Just the water, I just think of the, it had to be almost a nightmare. But they get out there, and all of a sudden they begin murmuring and complaining. Once they didn't have the water, and so God makes the bitter water sweet. And they didn't have meat to eat, so God provides quail, and he also provides the manna from above, right? And so once they get into the wilderness, every day except for the Sabbath day, there was quail and there was manna. Isn't that incredible? And every day they would go out and they would get enough to provide for that day, and on Friday they would get to collect twice as much, and it would keep for Saturday, which was their Sabbath. Right, but if you did too much on the other days, it would rot. It would get maggots, and it was bad. Okay, but God provided them. God's provision was enough. And if you look at Israel's history, several of the festivals and the feasts were based upon the harvest. Okay, so the feast of Passover, huge one, because that was tied in with Easter. Okay, but the feast of Passover is tied in with the barley harvest. The Feast of Pentecost was celebrating the wheat harvest. And the Feast of Tabernacles celebrated the grape harvest. And so a lot of these feasts were based upon the harvest. It was a time to celebrate, to thank God for what God had done. So this morning, as we look at the Lord's Prayer, and specifically verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, what was Jesus saying there? What was he saying there? Bread was a staple, right? So by a staple, I mean it was a necessity. It was something that, in that biblical culture, was probably served at every meal. And even how many kind of grow up in a family, or even still today, you have bread at almost every meal. You have your toast. You have it for lunch and supper, okay? It's kind of a staple, right? So it still plays a significant role even in our cultures today. Some sort of bread. It may look different in different cultures. You have what, the Indian culture, you have your naan, right? Oh, that's, I could eat a lot of that. That's good stuff, right? You know, your Norwegians have your lefse, right? And they have breads and stuff too. Yes. I mean, but so the bread in some shape or form, it is so essential to our way of life. And so when we talk about food, it symbolizes that. Jesus himself called himself the bread of life, pointing to that just as bread is a staple, it is a necessity for life, so he is the source of spiritual life. So when Jesus was telling his disciples how to pray, and he says, give us today our daily bread, what are some things we can pull from this? So in your program, there's a few things that we'll highlight here, about three things. The first thing that we can learn is that we pray for bread and not cake. We pray for bread and not cake. And some of you go, what? We pray for bread, not cake. If you had cake at every meal, it would not be good for you. Trust me. But you could probably live on bread and water, and you could survive. What do I mean by this? Well, we pray for bread, not cake. In other words, we pray for the necessities of life, the needs of life, not necessarily always the wants in life. So we live in a very materialistic culture, and I think we can look at our culture today. It's very materialistic, and they struggled with that back in Jesus' day, okay? So things may look differently, but I think they struggled with the same thing. And we live in a very materialistic culture where consumerism reigns, okay? And probably the greatest example of that is coming up on Friday, right? Black Friday. So people have Thanksgiving, and then we go to the stores and try to kill each other, and all so that we can get the Xbox. What is the new Xbox? It's on sale for $399 anyway. All right. But we live in a materialistic culture. And there's a fine line sometimes between necessity and wants, and it can get blurry at times. So just let me illustrate. We need clothes for our body, but we don't always have to have the hottest, trendiest clothes, right? You can get a pair of jeans for $50, or you can get a pair of jeans for $100. $200, $300. There's a difference. Okay, they both cover your body, and you can actually get some pretty nice things for $50. You can even get $100 jeans if you go to Plato's Closet, right? We need food to eat, but we don't always have to eat the finest food, right? Okay, you can go to a restaurant, or you can prepare your own meal for, you know, nowadays, you go out to eat, it's $10, and it is pretty much $10 a shot now, minimum, right? You can get a little bit above it, a little bit below it, but if you're going to go out at a family restaurant someplace, you're going to be in that neighborhood. But you go to some places, you can pay up to $100 a plate. So, you know, that's great if the budget can handle that and you can work all that out. But you know what? We pray that we have food to eat and nourish our bodies, right? We pray for lodging. We may want a mansion, but if God gives us a clean home to live under that is safe, that protects us from the elements, we should be thankful, amen? We need reliable transportation. What do I mean by that? Well, back then, if you had a donkey that got you from point A to point B and, you know, it didn't stop on the way and die on you, you know, you were thankful. That was their mode of transportation. You know, I don't know if they had it branded on them. You know, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, I don't know. You know, maybe they had to put on their ear or something. Man, you got the newest model, right? You know, that should be the prayer. And often it's kind of like, God, give it, you know, if we have a reliable car that gets us from point A to point B without breaking down, keeps us safe, that's a good thing. We don't always have to have the luxury car, right? God gets that we need food, we need clothing, we need a roof over our head, we need transportation. I want you to go ahead a little bit further in Matthew chapter 6 to verse 25, just so that you understand that God does get it. He says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap, store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" Can't do it. Verse 28. "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them." But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, God gets it. And he instructs us to put him first, to come to him, pray for our necessities in life, and put him first. And as we do, he's going to provide for us. I believe that God is faithful. Sometimes we get the cart, you know, before the horse, and we go out there and we do all that we can do to provide for ourselves, and we kind of leave God in the dust because we're so busy doing what we're providing for ourselves and doing all that. And God says, you know what, you put me first, and I'll take care of some of those other things. Put him first in your life. He'll provide even some of the desires of your heart. Did you know that? Not only the necessities and the needs, but I believe that God will provide some of the desires of our heart. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Last Tuesday, so it was a week and a half ago on Tuesday, I wrote in my journal, God is good all the time, but there's some days that he outdoes himself. And it was just a good day. I was up early, way before the sunrise. I was driving out into the country, just as you could see the orange starting to show on the horizon to the east, and it was blue above, and the moon was coming up. So it was, what do you call it when the moon, opposite of a full moon, is that called a new moon? Yeah, that's what it was. You could see that silhouette just coming up. It was just beautiful, kind of there. I tried taking a picture of it. It just didn't do it justice, you know. And I spent the morning in the woods, if you want the full story. But it was just an incredible morning that way. And I get home and had good news on my class. And then Gina texted me, got to go basketball game. All that happened on the same day. And, you know, I just thought, you know, God is good. Not every day is like that. There's some days that, you know, things don't go the way you want, but you're still thankful, right? And God is faithful, and I believe that if we put him first and delight ourselves in him, he will give us not only the needs and necessities in life, but he also will give us some of the desires of our heart. And I think the closer we get to God, the more our desires align with his, too. That's a key thing, right? That's a key thing. All right, number two. We pray for bread, not cake. Number two, we pray for ours and not mine. You notice that in the Lord's Prayer? Give us, does it say, give me today my bread? Give us today our bread. That's what it says, doesn't it? It's not singular, it's plural. And I think about it, in our North American culture, not all countries are like our country, okay? But in North America especially, we are very individualistic. It's all about me, okay? That's the way we're hit it with in the commercials. It's all about us. And you go to other places in the world, maybe Africa, specifically, it's more communal. And they don't even make decisions unless, and it can be the opposite extreme. So I'm not saying it's all good, okay? But Christy, you've experienced that. You know, sometimes even with one person accepts Christ, then the whole village will accept Christ because that's the way they make decisions. It's not just about me; it's about everybody, right? Every decision impacts everybody else. But we look at things in our American culture; it's very individualistic. We look at ourselves. And so when you pray about provision, is it just about you or maybe your family? Or do you pray for others, your extended family, for friends, for your community, for the other believers that you worship with, for people around the world that you don't even know, but they're part of the kingdom of God? Do you pray for their provision? How are you stretching out your prayers? Is it just about me or is it about the people around us? I want to stretch us in that. Ethically, we can pray for luxuries. So I want to rephrase this. I think if you've had any opportunity to travel outside the United States, you even see pockets in the United States, but you travel outside the United States, and you actually see poverty, it makes it difficult to even pray for luxuries here in life. Because how can you pray for luxuries in life when you see people that are living with so little? And I think even the poorest of the poor here in our nation, it doesn't compare to some of the poverty that exists in other parts of the world. I have a hard time having seen some of that. How can we in America live like we do when so much of the world struggles to eke out a living? I challenge you to expand your prayer life. We have a lot to be thankful for. In California, Paradise, California, it's basically gone, right? So there was an Assembly of God church there. That's been burned to the ground. That's gone. The pastor and his family are safe. I believe their house was spared. But just think about pastoring a community now that everybody's homes have been burned to the ground. You know, hopefully many of their lives were spared, but I think the number keeps going up. The last I heard it was up to 60 or some, and I think it's probably higher than that. I don't know if there's a higher number. But we have a lot to be thankful for. And sometimes we think about, you have all this stuff, right, and it's burned up. What's important in life, right? What's important in life? We pray for, they should be in our prayers, those people. Even we might not even know some of them, but I know people that I know who had family out there, and their lives have been impacted and affected. Homes were lost. So it could be a hurricane, it could be a fire. We have a lot to be thankful for. So I challenge us to not only pray for our needs, but to expand it so that it is not just about us, it's about those around us and others. Last point is to pray for bread that never ceases. Pray for bread that never ceases. Now, this takes on a little more meaning. It says, pray, give us today our daily bread. Well, that's a hard translation. It's not, they're putting that in there because they're trying to capture what the Greek says there, but the word for daily, spousa, something like that, it's only used a couple times in the Greek, and nobody knows what it really means. Okay, they kind of get the idea, but some scholarly work has been done on it. Daily is probably an okay translation. It's the best that they can do. But the idea is that we are praying for the bread that never ceases. Okay, not just enough for today, but also that God cares about tomorrow as well. And that when we pray to God for provision, that we're praying that there's that ongoing provision that He's providing for us. So that goes back to the Israelites in the wilderness, right? God not only provided for today, but He was also going to provide for tomorrow and for the next day. There is that idea of provision, that God isn't just going to provide for you today and then tomorrow He's going to forget about you, right? There's that ongoing thing. And there's a fear there that each of us has that we won't have enough. Okay, that's why we entitled the message enough. That, yeah, maybe I have enough today, but what about tomorrow? What about the next day? Will I have enough? And God wants to relieve us of that fear. And so when we pray for our daily bread, we're saying, God, deliver us from that fear that we will not have enough. That's what we're really saying. Saying, God, deliver us. We don't, because when we live under that fear, I'm going to read it in my notes because it's phrased a little better here. When we pray, it addresses that we won't have enough food for today, but also for tomorrow. That fear will destroy our well-being in the present, but it also will erode our hope for the future. And so when we pray, say, God, give us today our daily bread, and saying, God, deliver us from the fear that would take away our joy today, that would take away our peace and contentment. Take away that fear that we won't have enough tomorrow, that there is no hope for tomorrow, that there's nothing to be excited about or to be thankful for. God, deliver us from that. Give us that hope and that joy that You are walking with us, that You are going to provide for us. Give us the bread that never ceases. And I think it is a beautiful picture of pointing to Christ, right? Now, Jesus called Himself the bread of life, but He also called Himself the water of life, right? And he used that term specifically when he was talking to the woman at the well. And so they begin this dialogue about water, right? And it's a beautiful conversation because he just doesn't come out and say, hey, you need God. He says, what? Can I have a drink of water? And that was kind of hard for her. Why? Because she was a lady, he was a guy. I know that's obvious, okay? But guys didn't talk to ladies in that culture, especially since he was a rabbi. You just didn't cross that border. She definitely wasn't going to say anything to him. So he talks to her, but he asks, can I have a drink of water? So then they begin talking, they begin dialoguing. And she goes, yeah, we come here. And then she talks about worship. We worship here. You guys worship in Jerusalem. And they start talking about worship. And also now they're talking about things that matter. And not only does she come to Christ, but then she invites many of the people from the village. And many of them come to know Christ that day. But Jesus says, he says, you know, you keep coming here day after day to get water. If you really knew who I was, I would give you water that would never run out, right? That would never cease. I am the water of life. And Jesus is the bread of life. And when Jesus is our source and we're coming to him, he removes that fear that we won't have enough. And he will be with us today, tomorrow, and into the future. He will be faithful. You know, I've never been in the situation where I didn't have food, where I didn't know where tomorrow was going to come from. I've never been in that situation. There's always been some food in the cupboard, or I've never had that fear. But some people have. Some people have. But God is faithful. I think of the one guy that ran the orphanages in England, and his name will come to me. But he wrote a great book on faith and on prayer. But as he ran this orphanage, often they didn't have the food for the next day. It's not only for himself, but for the kids that they had the orphanage for. Isn't that crazy? And he wasn't the best advertiser. In fact, he kind of refused putting the word out there saying, hey, we need stuff. And so what would he do? He'd go to God in prayer. As he went to God in prayer, they'd open up the door in the morning and there would be the food for the next day. That's faith, huh? But what I want to get at is that God is faithful. That I believe that if we put him first, he hasn't called us to worry. He hasn't called us to fret. He has called us to pray, and even to pray for our daily provision. God cares about our needs, and he knows that we need to have those things, but what we need to capture here is that he is enough. When we come to him, he is enough. He'll provide for us. You know, as you gather on the Thanksgiving table this Thursday, I hope you'll take time to express your thankfulness to God. Some families do that. You just go around the table and everybody just shares a word of thanksgiving. I think that those things are helpful. I think those things are good because too often we go through life and we don't thank God for the many blessings that we do have. Whether it's health, whether it's just food on the table, whether it's a roof over our head. Does it mean that life is perfect? Absolutely not. No, cars break down. ATVs roll over, you know. Things happen, right? Yeah. Life does happen. But in the midst of that, God is faithful. And he provides for us, and he is enough. And so what we learn from verse 11 is that we pray for bread. We don't pray for cake. I'm going to have Denise, if you'd come in the worship team. We pray for ours, not mine. We pray for bread that will never cease. Because he is enough. Amen. Our Father, say that together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Father, this morning we just bow our heads in thankfulness, Lord God. You've taught us how to pray, and you call us to come before you, God. You care about our needs. Even before we ask, you know them, but Lord, you still call us to come before you, to seek you, to put you first in our lives, to honor you, to worship you. Lord, and as we come before you, you care for us, Lord God. You've promised to walk with us, to provide for the needs that we have, for our families, for those that we love, for ourselves. You are more than enough. And Father, as we go into this Thanksgiving time, may it not be more than just football and a meal. May we rejoice in the relationships that we have, in the family that we have, that we have one more day to rejoice together, to be together, to really focus on the things that matter in life, dear God. Because someday it all could be burned up. It all could be gone, and it'll maybe help us to focus on the things that really matter, the relationships and the people that are the most important thing. Our walk with you, dear God. Father, we just challenge our hearts today to be thankful, to give you thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. We ask this in your precious name this morning. Would you all stand this morning? I'm going to close with that chorus. It just talks about that God is that enough for us. He's the breath within us. And would you just make a place of worship where you're at? Let God speak to you by His Holy Spirit. And let Him take the words that were spoken this morning, His word, and apply it to your hearts this morning.